From Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, hear now the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The Lord bless his holy word for us today. You know, the mere thought of standing here in front of you is terrifying. I never would have imagined as a young man that this is where I would be. I couldn't read very well. I didn't learn until later on, actually, and after I left high school. I knew how to read, but to learn to read well, it wasn't until much later. And reading in front of people, I would never do that. There was a time, though, as a young man, God was preparing me, though, for something more, and I didn't realize it. But I loved to read the Psalms out loud. And I had an apartment as a young man, alone, and I would often read a psalm out loud. And I would read a psalm over and over again until I read it without making any mistakes. And it wasn't that I was preparing to read in church or anything like that, because I was never going to do that. but I would do it over and over again. It was a meditative practice, actually, a spiritual practice, as I read God's word again and again, and God used his word to work inside of me, to work his transformation and the growth that I needed at that time. And the God of the Bible spoke to me as I would read his word over and over again out loud. As I read it, as I saw it on the page, as I heard it, the Spirit moved through that. I know there are other pastors and other have similar stories that wouldn't imagine preaching today, and there are some of you that wouldn't imagine that you'd be where you are or are doing what you are doing, or maybe you've never imagined that you'd be holding down a pew or a chair in a Christian church ever. But here you are. God's calling is a funny thing. As we talk about God's calling today, some of us want it, we seek it, we pray for it, we long for it. We want to hear a direct word from the Lord. God, just tell me what you want me to do with my life, where you want me to go. Then we get it. Then we hear it, and then we're not so sure. God, how could you ever choose me for this, we say. I'm not qualified, I'm not educated, I'm not trained, I'm not equipped for this. I'm just a sinful human being. As they say, be careful what you pray for, you just might get it. Call of God is a funny thing. But it may not be that funny because we live in troubled times. We live in a broken world among people who have broken emotional systems, broken families, broken moral compasses, broken relational skills, broken financial sense. We live in a world that suffers, a creation and an environment that suffers, among human beings who inflict suffering on one another all too often. We live in an ever-changing political environment that keeps us on edge and tense and at odds with each other. We live in a time of declining spiritual and moral convictions. Do we even know what those are? A moral conviction? Is it okay to have convictions today? Nuclear weapons and the threat of nuclear disaster is back on our minds. We live in troubled times in a lot of ways, in a time like that of Jeremiah, although he didn't have to worry about nuclear weapons. The chariots of Babylon, though, may have been the weapons of mass destruction of his day. What if God gave you a direct calling on your life today? What if this is what you've been waiting for, you've been looking for, you've been praying for and hoping for, and today's the day? What if this morning you hear a direct call from God today? What if God dialed up your soul? What if he tweeted your cerebellum? What if he messaged your heart and said, I want you to go here. I want you to talk to so-and-so over there. What would be your response? I imagine it would be a lot like a lot of pastors and missionaries who receive or sense that call, or others who serve the Lord in many other ways in culture and society, and wondering, God, why me? I'm not ready for this. Why would you choose me? And your response might be like that of the prophet Jeremiah of the Bible, too. First, this morning, God's calling, as we're talking about God's calling, it's based on God's sovereign love. God's calling is based on his sovereign love for us. The call of God to Jeremiah begins with what God has done and what God was doing in his life. And we've been kind of focusing on that here at Fellowship this summer. It's not about who Jeremiah is, not about how perfect he was or how good of a person or man he was or how sinless he was. He was none of these things. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, the Lord says in verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What? God knew me before I was conceived? Before I had done anything bad or good? Before I had anything on my resume? God knew me? Yes, that's right. And he has plans for me and my life before I was born? Yes, that's right. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was God's choice, God's election, God's sovereign pick. Literally, God set him apart as holy for a special purpose. Not because Jeremiah was perfectly holy, but it was God's holy purpose that he set Jeremiah apart for. This special calling. It wasn't human-centered. It wasn't bad pizza the night before. No, this was a calling from the Lord, from outside the self, from outside the body, from outside the mind. The word of the Lord came to him saying, I knew you before you were born. I'm the one who formed you in the womb at conception. And I set you apart. I appointed you for a special purpose. Jeremiah, he also lived in troubled times. He also lived in ever-changing political environment. The Assyrian threat was moving out. The kingdom was divided, and Israel was no more, and all that was left was the kingdom of Judah. But the Babylonian threat was coming in, and they were gaining strength, and the Babylonians were becoming more aggressive. Judah herself was in a time of moral and spiritual decline as well. Jeremiah's prophecy gives us many moral failures of the nation for why this was happening to them, why the Babylonians were coming. You see, Jeremiah served in the last 40 years of the nation of Judah. He was appointed to preach in the last days before judgment, the days before Judah was taken into exile into Babylon. God's judgment was coming, and Jeremiah was there to tell them all about it. And it wasn't a message that people wanted to hear. That wasn't a popular message, to be sure. But before Jeremiah even hears exactly what this assignment is all about from the Lord, he's already hemming and hawing. He's already making excuses why he's not the right man for the job. God had just said, he was just telling him, I love you. You are deeply valued. You are important to me. And I knew you before time. And I've called you for this special purpose. And Jeremiah says, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute, Lord. Are you sure? I think you've got the wrong man. You ever try to tell God he's got the wrong person for the job? You ever try to block his calls from your heart? You ever try to unfriend God so you don't hear his call? It doesn't work that way. God always gets through. God, you've got the wrong man, Jeremiah says. And he proceeds to give his excuses for why he's not up for the task. In verse 6, He says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I never had a oral rhetoric class or a speech class in college, Lord. And here you are calling me to speak publicly? Nope, that's not going to work." And he also says, Jeremiah in verse 6, "I'm too young. I'm not an old man like Pastor Ken can do this sort of work. I'm too young. I'm too wet behind the ears. I'm too green." God, you've got the wrong person. Which makes me wonder, does Jeremiah even know who he's talking to? Does he know who the Lord is? Could Yahweh, the Lord, ever choose the wrong person? God says, no, you are the man. You are my choice. In fact, I am appointing you knowing full well your weaknesses, knowing full well your brokenness. I know the history of your sins. I know where you came from. And even knowing all of that, I'm still calling you. I'm still appointing you, and I still love you. You, as you are, you are the one I want to be prophet to the nations. In God's sovereign love, he reassures Jeremiah in verses 7 and 8, saying, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go. You must go," the Lord says, "to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you." God says, it's not about you. It's about me. If they get angry at you, they get upset at you, they want to hurt you because of the message, well, it's about me, it's about my message, it's about who I am and what I'm calling them to do and to be. Don't look at and don't focus on what you do not have. Look at who I am. Focus on who I am as the Lord Almighty, the Almighty God of the universe, who has called you, who has appointed you, who has loved you, who has known you before time began, and who says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." God's calling is based on his sovereign love. He knew us before time. He formed us in the womb. He sets us apart for his purposes in the world. God's sovereign love for his creation gives all human life value and meaning and purpose, whether pre-born or born, elderly or disabled. And each of us are called to a special purpose in this life and to this suffering and broken world in which we live. So God's call is based on God's sovereign love for us. And secondly, this morning, God's calling comes with God's equipping. God's calling comes with God's equipping. When we receive a call from God, I wonder if we think that it's something like God saying, "Ken, I want you to ride that black stallion over there and ride into battle and win the victory in all majesty and glory." It might look that way. We first receive the call when we're receptive to what God is asking us to do or calling us to do or where he's calling us to go. It might feel that way. Like, yeah, I'm going into victorious battle and every day is going to be victory and glory and joy. And then reality sets in. It's not all that way. Ministry is a lot like what Eugene Peterson once wrote. He said, "Pastoral work is a lot like farm work. Most pastoral work involves routines similar to cleaning out the barn, mucking out the stalls, spreading manure, pulling up weeds. This is not, any of it, bad work in itself, but if we expected to ride on a glistening black stallion in daily parades and then return to the barn where some lackey grooms our steed for us, we'll be severely disappointed and end up being very, very resentful." I would say that goes for a lot of work, the ministry work that even you do, many of you do right here at Fellowship. Serving others, washing feet, menial chores, giving rides, doing the dishes, serving on council, serving on a committee, teaching. It may feel like mucking out the stalls sometimes. And maybe you never get a parade, you never get a thanks for what you do. You see, Jeremiah was loved by God. He was called by God for a special task as prophet to the nations. God promised to be with him through it all. But all of that doesn't mean the task is going to be glorious and majestic and full of parades and accolades and prizes from everybody he serves. The nature of service, it doesn't always work that way. Jeremiah was called to preach in the last days of his nation. And the message, a message of doom and judgment for the rebelliousness, the sinfulness of God's people. Most of the people, though, they only want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. You know, feel-good sermons. Preach to us about glory and grace and health and wealth, Pastor. That's what we want to hear about. We don't want to hear no downer sermons. Jeremiah would be mucking out the stalls and pulling up weeds for some 40 years. That was his calling. That was his career. That's what God wanted him to do, to preach during the last days, during the troubled times of his nation. I wonder, might your calling from God be similar today? Might you be called to speak to a rebellious people? People who have stopped listening to God's word or stopped respecting its place as having authority in their lives. Could it be that God is calling you to a very menial task, hidden out of the limelight, where very few people notice and no one ever pats you on the back or says thank you? Might you be called to challenge the status quo, to speak up for the unpopular position, to go against the grain of culture, because God says, I appointed you as prophet to speak my word. The calling of God is, it's not about us, it's not about our glory, our fame, or our popularity among the people. It won't always be easy when you heed God's call in your life, but God says, I will be with you, I will rescue you, I will give you the strength that you need, and he will equip you for the journey. Take a look at verses 9 and 10. It says, then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and he said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah didn't know how to speak publicly. He thought he was too young to be a prophet. He thought he was the wrong person for the job, when in fact God says, you're the one. I appoint you to go and speak. In fact, I'm going to give you the words to say. It's not Jeremiah who will do the uprooting and the tearing down and the destroying, however, but it will be a function of God's word that he will speak to God's people and to the nations. In verse 12, the Lord, it says, is watching to see that his word is fulfilled. The Lord is watching that his word fulfills the purposes for which God wants it to do. Jeremiah's job is to be faithful and to speak the word. God will ensure that his word is accomplished according to his purposes and his will. The prophet is called to be obedient, faithful, trusting, to have courage. You see, Jeremiah is a new Moses for a new era. He's ushering in a new time period. He's prophesying a new covenant. I'm sure you notice the similarities in this passage to the story of Moses and the burning bush story, when Moses spoke to the Lord, and then Moses came up with his own excuses or list of excuses why he thought he wasn't the right person for the job either. It's as if God purposely chooses people who know and feel their inadequacies most keenly, who know they don't have it, that they're not perfect for the job, who know they need to depend upon the Lord. It's almost as if God says, watch and see what I can do through your weaknesses, through your limitations, your disabilities, your fears, your anxieties. Watch how I can work through all of that. And knowing exactly who you are, that how I can still use you. A prophet in troubled times must know and have faith that with God and only with God, all things are possible. God's calling comes with God's equipping. God equips us. Jeremiah, the new Moses, he's ushering in this new age by calling people to repentance and lament and to turn back to God. Jeremiah lives and he serves in the constant tension between tearing down and building up throughout his ministry. He is God's strong man, but he's also God's suffering servant, his hopeful herald. He calls people to radical change in their lives in the last days, but he also points them to better days, to a covenant that's better than Adam's. He promises the day when troubled times will be interrupted, when God will step in and will change people's hearts. Jeremiah 31:31 says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." The prophet talks about tearing down, destroying, but he also talks about building up and planting. And it would be Jesus who would plant those words in the hearts of his disciples in the upper room, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," in fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah, the words that God put in his mouth. Jesus would be a greater prophet. Jesus would be a greater suffering servant than Jeremiah, who also points to a greater age of glory that awaits those who believe in him as Lord and Savior of their lives. We're all called to be prophets in our troubled times. Traditionally, a prophet is not a fortune teller, but one who brings the word of God to bear on the issues of the day and to communicate the word of God to the people of the day. If you are a Christ follower today, God has placed his word in your heart, in your life, in your mind. He calls you to learn, to study, to memorize, and to prepare to engage these troubled times, this troubled culture, with his holy word. Like with Jeremiah, we are called to be obedient and faithful, not to evaluate the effectiveness or the significance of our ministry throughout all of history and how it compares or anything like that. Maybe we couldn't even do all of that. Could God's purpose be to tear down and destroy? Well, if it's sinful, if it's evil structures and cultures in society, in corporations, in churches, or in families, well, yes, his purpose could be to tear down, to uproot, to destroy, to pull up weeds. Culture is not neutral. But the purpose of his word is also to build up and to plant. And that's the final word, the building up and the planting. To plant a new culture, to plant new behaviors, new attitudes, new structures of justice and peace within the nations of the world. Christian, you are called to be prophets in our troubled times. You are called to be prophets in our troubled times. And part of the building and the planting that God's Holy Spirit is continuing to work today is calling people to serve in these troubled times wherever they have been planted. And maybe you're freshly planted here in Big Rapids today. This is your place to serve. This is your place to be that prophet. It begins with knowing your worth and your value as one whom God knew before time, the God who knit you together in your mother's womb. And then when the word is planted within you, it begins to grow. And you begin to grow in your calling from God. You are here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. What is it? What is it? Why has God placed you here? For what purpose? For what reason? God's calling is based on his sovereign love for you and for his people and for this broken world he so loves. And his calling comes with his equipping. For ministry, for service, for the task, for a lifetime of serving him. Praise be to God that he is and he always will be with us. So may he give you the words to speak this week. Will you join me in prayer? God of calling and God of transformation, we praise your name today. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for valuing us, serving us, coming to us even when we were running away from you, and for calling us to a greater purpose. Help us to be faithful and obedient today as we listen for and heed your calling on our lives. Forgive us for being so worried about pleasing others and what other people think and seeking the recognition of others instead of being focused on pleasing you and being faithful in our calling. Help us to hear you clearly today and to always to be ready to prophetically speak your word of truth in our troubled times. May your name, Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, receive all of the glory, honor, and praise today and forever. Amen.